My guest at this time is Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. He is a Republican from the Sunshine State's 1st Congressional District, and he is a member of the House Budget Committee. He was also one of just 20 House Republicans to vote against the House budget, which was a key stepping stone to addressing tax reform and tax cuts. He joins me now to explain why, what he wants to see in a tax reform bill, and whether Republicans on both sides of Capitol Hill can unify on this issue in a way they could not on the effort to repeal Obamacare. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, good to be on.
When the budget passed, a lot of pro-tax reform people were circulating the list of the 20 Republican no votes and stating these people don't want tax cuts. I'm pretty sure you disagree with that analysis. So why did you vote against the budget?
Well, I'm all for tax cuts, but I think they need to be accompanied with spending cuts. Right now, we've got a $20 trillion debt that's on its way to a $30 trillion debt, and we've got about $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities that will paralyze this country. And so while I'm all about getting the economy moving with productive tax cuts, we have got to be honest with ourselves about the challenges we face with spending, and I'm going to use my position on the Budget Committee to continue to advocate for spending cuts so that we don't drive up deficits while we're working to get the economy moving again.
The original House budget had a lot more spending cuts in it than the Senate bill that you were eventually had to adopt, at least that the House Republicans as a whole had to adopt. So how much different were the bills, and how much does that change how aggressive tax reform can be?
The House of Representatives passed a conservative budget that cut spending by over $200 billion. And we actually laid out a plan to accomplish those spending cuts by ensuring that able-bodied, childless adults who can choose to work would have to actually meet a work requirement before getting benefits from the government. That seems to be an idea that has obtained bipartisan support in the past with President Clinton and Speaker Gingrich. It's an idea that has been very successful in the state of Maine, where Governor LePage instituted work requirements and cut their food stamps rolls by more than half. And when we sent these conservative ideas over to the United States Senate, unfortunately, the Senate did not agree to cut a single nickel in spending. Instead, they merely sent a budget back that kept things the way they were, preserved the status quo. And it's my belief that President Trump and many economic conservatives were sent to this town to change the status quo and to challenge some of the assumptions we make regarding spending. And so I was very disappointed that the swamp creatures over in the Senate didn't have the guts to cut spending. We're going to keep fighting for spending cuts in the House, and I think that that's the way that we get the full value out of tax reform. If businesses in our country have more capital to be able to hire people, it will all be for naught if we don't deal with the workforce challenges that incentivize people to stay home. So pairing tax reform and welfare reform together can actually supercharge the value of both, because we'll have the resources in our small businesses to hire people, and then we'll have the right incentives in our economy so that people will actually go to work.
The message from the House leadership, Congressman, seemed to be, look, we love the bill that we passed, but this is the best we're going to do to set the stage for tax reform because it's the best we can get out of the Senate. They're just not going to go for what we passed in our own version. So if we want to do tax reform, we got to do this one. What's your reaction to it?
Well, I didn't run for the House of Representatives to come here and be a rubber stamp for the Senate. And I think that too often in the House, we're the Senate's lapdogs. I mean, you look at health care, we would have passed whatever the Senate passed. You look at the budget, we take whatever the Senate gives us. And my hope is that when we get to tax cuts, we won't whittle down the value of tax cuts. We won't fail to deliver on the promises that President Trump has made regarding massive tax cuts just because the Senate cannot do bold things. So while I'm disappointed that the Senate didn't have the guts to cut spending, it's not a big surprise. And my fear is that if we take the approach that, well, we will only do, you know, what Mitch McConnell says we can do, that we will fail to deliver on the bold conservative agenda that the American people expected when they got unified Republican control of the White House, the House, and the Senate.
Do you get the feeling that the three most liberal members of the Republican Senate conference are essentially controlling the agenda?
It really is sad when a few senators who, as a consequence of their more liberal views or at times just their dislike of the president, can get in the way of an agenda that we all ran on. it's very frustrating to see senators campaign for spending cuts and balanced budgets and the repeal of Obamacare, and then when they are surrounded by their special interest buddies in Washington, they seem to abandon those principles and instead become the great stalwarts of the status quo. We've got to change the way Washington works, and for a generation, special interests have created a system in Washington where no one is really responsible for spending. And there isn't a single lobbyist on K Street that's fighting for less spending. They're all fighting for more spending in different areas, and so we've got to have courageous conservatives ready to stand up and say, no more. We are not going to participate in this great wave of generational theft. I mean, in the last 15 years, we've stolen more than $15 trillion from the next generation, and they're going to have to pay that back with interest. And so my hope is that we'll be able not only to demand spending cuts, but actually lay out a strategy for the types of cuts that will help us implement the Trump agenda. And the obvious solution is to make people who are able-bodied, who could go to work. We're not talking about children. We're not talking about seniors or the disabled or the ill or people who are truly impoverished. But people who could go to work and choose not to should not get the benefit of government assistance on the backs of the next generation of Americans.
We're talking with Florida Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz. And Congressman, one more question on the budget before we get to your thoughts on tax reform. Of the 20 GOP no votes, most of those were from states like New Jersey and New York that I think their members were fearful of the state income tax deduction being on the chopping block in tax reform, and perhaps that's why they didn't go for it. They're not more the conservative members. Were you surprised that more fiscal hawks didn't vote with you?
Yeah, I count about eight fiscal hawks who voted no on this budget, and so we in some ways are becoming a bit of an endangered species on Capitol Hill, and it's indicative of the environment we live in where every special interest wants the government to spend more money because then there's more room in the trough for their respective snouts. I think that is the dynamic that we have to change, and we've got to be honest about the real impacts of rising debts on the next generation. The debt is a wet blanket over our economy, and there's no amount of tax cuts that will ever allow us to grow to meet the obligations we've set forth in the absence of spending cuts. So it's going to take a growing economy, it's going to take tax cuts, and I intend to vote for those tax cuts, but we also have to make sure that we pair them with welfare reform and spending reform so that we get the full value of those tax cuts and they don't become yet another tool contributing to the generational theft that has existed in Washington under both Republicans and Democrats.
We're speaking here on Wednesday, November the 1st, which was supposed to be the day that House Republicans rolled out the tax reform package. We know it's been pushed back to at least Thursday. What are the major sticking points as far as you know?
I don't get the sense that there are too many issues left unresolved, but when undertaking the process of rewriting tax code that's 70,000 pages, there are a lot of I's you got to dot and a lot of T's you got to cross, and I suspect that those machinations are what are occurring right now. You mentioned earlier the state and local tax deductions, and we've got a lot of folks in high tax states who are Republicans who are concerned about the impact on their constituents. I'm from a low tax state. Florida's actually got the lowest per capita state taxes in America. And frankly, I'm tired of my constituents having to subsidize the deductions that people take in states that have been irresponsible and have raised taxes. And so I'm hoping that we can get to a good solution there that unites Republicans. There's no doubt that we have to do tax reform to preserve a Republican majority. I think everyone understands that after this very unfortunate fumble on health care, that tax reform is essential to executing the president's agenda. And my hope is that we'll be able to get the votes of those Northeast Republicans, those California Republicans, but that we also don't perpetuate inequities in the tax system that would have the unintended consequence of actually punishing people who live in states where the state and local governments have been more fiscally responsible.
So you think, though, that essentially everybody, at least a majority, a significant majority of House Republicans, are on the same page? Because once this delay got reported, a lot of people on the right are thinking, here we go again. This is a party that didn't have a health care repeal plan ready to go after 7 years of promising to do it. And now we might be seeing the same thing here on tax reform. Sounds like you're more confident that's not the case.
Yeah, I don't believe that we have not announced the tax bill because we don't have the votes. I just think this is an incredibly complex process. There's going to be a lot of scrutiny. We've already seen Chuck Schumer lying about elements of the tax bill, saying that the mortgage interest deduction was going to be eliminated. That is not true. And so my expectation is that we want to make sure we've got all the clarity that we have as we make the case to the American people that they should keep more of their own money and send less of it to the government.
Lastly, one of the things that keeps popping up, the president shot it down in a tweet, but there still seems to be some consideration of it, and that's capping the amount that folks can put into 401k plans. And obviously, at a time when we're encouraging fiscal prudence and responsibility, a lot of folks like the idea of being able to pump as much as they can into those. What do you know that's either in or out of the bill on that front?
Well, I think that there are still details to be worked out on the 401k issue. I know there are a lot of seniors and savers that benefit as a consequence of their own personal financial discipline and financial planning, and it would be really unfortunate in the tax code to see circumstances where those who are concerned about their future and the future of their family don't have every tool at their disposal to be able to do that planning in the absence of excessive government taxation. And so I'm hopeful we'll get to a solution there. But most Americans have to keep in mind that our goal is to lower rates for all Americans and to broaden the tax base by eliminating some loopholes. I think that there's a lot of special interests in Washington that have gotten a lot of special exemptions in the tax code that need to go away, because we will have a tax system that creates a dynamic economy if it is fair, flat, and has low rates, not this tax system we have now where you've got 70,000 pages of special interest giveaways for special people that have got the right lawyers and lobbyists. That's certainly no way to grow the American economy.
Congressman, we'll certainly be watching the debate. Thank you, sir, for being so generous with your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, Republican from Florida's 1st Congressional District and member of the House Budget Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.